Thank you. I appreciate everybody sticking around. Since I'm the last person going, I only have 65 slides, so I'm going to get you guys out of here in no time. First, before we start with the data, I think we kind of need to talk about a little bit of background to make these other slides make a little more sense. Verticillium wilt, it's caused by Verticillium dowii. It's capable of surviving in the soil for long times, 10, maybe 15 years. The hyphae of the pathogen enters the root and eventually the xylem by direct penetration. The pathogen then travels up the xylem into the surrounding parenchyma cells. Then it moves to dead leaves, stems, and roots. These dead tissues are where the new microsclerotia are formed. And here in the picture on the top, you can see this is a microsclerotia, these little black dots from a infected potato. And here, kind of the hyphae, it's kind of a matty looking stuff. And then the black little dots, those are microsclerotia. In an integrated management approach, we look at variety selection with both resistant and partially resistant varieties. We have crop rotation with non-hosts such as alfalfa and sorghum. Irrigation, it's been proven that excessive irrigation along with cool soil temperatures that this disease really enjoys will increase your disease incidence in a known field. Seedling rate, if you increase your seedling rate in a field, you will typically decrease your amount of disease. So a question is, what's the effect of nitrogen fertilizers in cotton? It's been shown in other crops like potatoes that excessive amounts of nitrogen application will exacerbate this disease. So our objective is to determine the influence of increasing nitrogen rates on Verticillium wilt cotton, lint yield, fiber quality, and susceptible and partially resistant varieties. So this trial has been done over 2 years. We had four locations each year. 2011, we had three drip fields and one pivot. Our pivot field was at the Texas A&M Research in Halfway, Texas. Our two drip fields were at Texas Tech Research Farms, both at Quaker and at New Deal. We had one grower location here in the red in Crosby County. 2012, we left the Crosby County location. We put two at Halfway, and we stayed at our Quaker and New Deal locations. Whole plot is nitrogen. We had six rates ranging from 0 to 250. Our subplot, our early maturity varieties, Delta Pine 104 and 0912. We had our 104 as our partially resistant, 0912 is our susceptible. Fibermax 9160, Next Gen 3348, and Delta Pine 1032 were all our medium maturities. Fibermax 9160 was our partially resistant. We used 3348 in 2011 and 1032 in 2012. Used a randomized complete block with four reps. So before we started in 2011, we kind of wanted to get a good idea of what was in our soil, what we were working with as kind of a baseline. And so we took soil samples at all four locations at four different depths ranging from 0 all the way to 24 inches. And here we have a really good range, a really good starting point from anywhere from 20 pounds of total nitrate nitrogen across the four depths all the way up to 160 pounds of nitrate nitrogen. We do need to note at this grower location that there was corn there in 2010. That's kind of why we see so much nitrogen here in the 0 to 6 level. We also took what I call vert plates. It's selective media. We also here have a good range, anywhere from 3 to 7 total across all four depths of microsclerotia per cc of soil. Data collection, we took stand counts 14 to 21 days after planting. Twice during the year, we did disease incidence and plant height. Our disease incidence here, we took foliar symptoms, the necrosis, chlorosis of the leaves, which will lead to bowl shed, premature defoliation. Vascular discoloration, where we cut the plants out of the field, and we take a cross section of them. The black, gray, brown kind of streaking there in the stem is indicative of Verticillium wilt. Post-harvest, we did lint yield, gin turnout, and HVI fiber quality. Ran proglimics, our p-value is at 0.05. Okay, I'm also going to talk about some of our environmental conditions because it needs to be addressed due to our disease triangle. And so here we have our Lubbock long-term average for heat unit accumulation here in the blue. And as you can see, the 2011 and 12 were well above that from the months of May to October. Also, rainfall. You see our blue bars are our long-term averages. 2011, we only really need to talk about May through July because those are kind of our peak growing months out on the high plains. Here in May in 2011, we had very little rain, June none, July some. 2012, below average in May, below average in June, and below average in July. So for a disease that really enjoys cool, wet conditions, it was a really good year to do verticillium wilt trials. Okay, now, when we looked at our stand counts, first let me set up the slide, because this is kind of how it's going to look for four or five more. Here we have nitrogen, 0 to 250. Here we have our variety, and our y-axis will change as we go down. But we saw no difference in nitrogen application due to the fact that we took stand counts before we applied our nitrogen. And you'll see here the 104 and 9160 were a little more vigorous than 1032, which was at the end of the pack, and 0912, which was right there in the middle. Plant height, again, we saw no differences across nitrogen rates. 0912 and 1032 tended to be statistically higher than 104, and 9160 ended up right there in the middle. Lint yield, I enjoy this slide just to kind of show you the kind of year we had in 11 and in 12. Here in the blue, we have 2011, and in the orange, we have 2012. In 2011, across nitrogen, we did see a reaction from our control, and you do see a slight linear increase. As you increase your nitrogen rates, we increased our yields. We had no significance in 2012. 2011 across a variety, 0912-1, which left 104. And remember, this graph, this bar right here is 3348, and which lost the trial along with 9160. Then you look at 2012, 0912, 1032, and 9160 were our top performers, and this is across all of our locations, all four of them, and 104 at the end. We also we're going to look a little bit closer at our halfway locations, because that's really where we only saw disease this year. So, and remember, our 0912 is our early susceptible. Fibromax 9160 is our medium, partially resistant variety. When we ran an ANOVA test, there was no significant differences. But if you look here, there is a linear trend too, and additional regression analysis needs to be conducted to denote significance here. Here we're looking at only 2012 at our halfway one location. We had disease in plots ranging from 5 to 45%. And here nitrogen level from 150 to 250 tended to be higher than from 100 to 0. And again, if you'll remember, 0912 and 1032 are our susceptible varieties, and they were significant. They had significantly more, on average, disease in plots than 104 and 9160. And so this is kind of encouraging to me that we're seeing some disease and we're getting some significance here. We then ran a couple of regressions when we looked at our four different varieties. We didn't run any regressions across nitrogen treatment because there was no significance there. And so here we're looking at Micronair, and the point up to our visual incidence, like I talked about earlier, from 0 to 45% for 0912 and 1032. As you increase your visual incidence, we did see a significant trend to where Micronair would decrease, both with 0912 and 1032. There was no significance with our partially resistant varieties. When you look at length, we also, in 0912 and 1032, We also saw as you increase your disease, you increase your yields, and those were significant as well. 0912 with strength, also as you increase your disease, you increase your strength. And uniformity did the same as well. So my conclusions, these last 2 years weren't great years to do these trials. Variety effect was more obvious than nitrogen was. We did have a yield response in 2011. 2012, we did not have a yield response in terms of nitrogen, possibly due to poor nitrogen use efficiency. We did see significant increases in yields among years due to better growing conditions. Different fiber quality was observed between varieties. Stands were not affected by nitrogen applications, but differences were more observed among varieties. Disease was observed at all, both halfway locations. We saw a tenfold increase from 2011. We did have low pressure, but we saw significant differences between our susceptible and our partially resistant varieties. We also saw at our halfway one location in 2012 that there were differences in fiber parameters as a visual incidence increased. I'd like to thank Cotton Incorporated and Monsanto these guys for my technical assistance throughout these last 2 years. If you guys have any questions, I'll try to answer. Yes. Side dress at UAN32 is what we used at first bloom. Yes.
If I understood you correctly, as your disease incidence went up, your strength went up?
Yes, in one variety.
In one variety. Why do you think that would be?
I'm not ready to make any conclusions on stuff like that. It's just something that we saw, and it was, so I'm not sure. I can probably try and figure it out, though.
Any other questions?
Yes. We had poor nitrogen use efficiency. That's why we didn't see any differences. We did see some differences, like in the slide earlier, with 9160 and 0912, but they weren't significant. I need to run a regression to see if there is significance there.
Have you looked at the foliar incidence? Did you look at the staining of the woody tissue?
Yes, sir. I didn't put these in here, but we did see. We did see a correlation there. When you did see those visual symptoms, you would also see the streaking there.
And it was all your responses to everything, pretty much mirrored what you saw with the foliar thing as far as the fiber quality and stuff like that?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Any other questions? All right. Thank you, Caleb.
Thanks.